Blog Talk Radio.
My soul is lost, so lonely and so cold, just like a lamb that has from the fold across the barren waste of sin I roam. O gentle shepherd, hear my cry and lead me home. O gentle shepherd, my lonely cry, and in thy cool green pasture let me lie. Beside the still clear waters lead thou me. O gentle shepherd, hear my cry and save my soul.
Gentle shepherd, save my soul.
And Jesus spoke the word of God with the intention of bringing souls out of darkness into the light, and then to bring the enlightened souls into greater light and deeper fellowship with the living God. So the Spirit of God is here to lead us, to guide us, to sustain us. In one verse, Jesus tells the disciples that he would sustain them to the end. And he does this sustaining work through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And who are evangelized? Who gets the good news? The poor. The poor. Now, in our culture, poor is a bad word, isn't it? It's not a bad word. There are two words in the Greek language for poor. Okay, there is the word ptokos. Ptokos means to be abjectly, extremely mendicant, totally poor. You got nothing. No how, no way. That's the word ptokos. Then there's another word called pene, which means someone who is poor but makes out okay. He's able to make a, you know, eke out a living, we would say. That's that kind of poor. Now, when the Bible says that Jesus is anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, he uses the word ptokos. So those who are able to receive the word of God are those who are totally poor, extremely mendicant, needing to beg for every scrap, totally destitute and desperate. These are the ones that you find, well, I'll look at a few verses with you here. These are the poor to whom Jesus evangelizes. These are the poor with whom God is concerned. That word pene is used very infrequently. But in every situation where Jesus is dealing with the human heart, use that potokos word, that desperate word. It's another one of our songs off the wall here, isn't it? I am desperate for you. You're my daily bread. You're my breath. I'm desperate. And the more desperate we allow ourselves to be, the more real the Word of God comes into our experience. To be potokos poor means I don't have a leg to stand on. I can't do anything about my situation. I am totally dependent. So let me just run you through a few verses. Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For they say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Not the ones who got something, but the ones who have nothing. They're the ones that God can bring about some reality. Remember that old adage? God can do something with a lot. He can do more with less, but he can do everything with nothing. That's how he started the whole creation, isn't it? Nothing. And the more nothing I am, the more God can do in my life. In John 12, verse 8, when those people, disciples, complained about helping the poor, Jesus said, you'll have the poor with you always, the potokos, the desperate, the needy ones. And whenever you want, you can help them. In Matthew 11, 5, we read it again. The poor have the gospel preached to them. In Mark 10, where the rich man says, what do I do to get eternal life? And Jesus told him, keep the commandments. I've already done all that. Then he says, you have one little problem. Sell everything you have and do what? Give it to the poor. And then you'll have treasure in heaven. The more treasure I have on earth, the smaller my bank account is in heaven. And my bank account on earth is subject to rust and moth and thieves. So, you see, it's good to be poor in this world, that we have a treasure in heaven. In Mark 12, Jesus said, did you see that woman who put her two mites in the offering box? She was a poor widow, and she gave everything she had. We would say in our day, she had two pennies. Well, you know, you think in our day, you can't really do much with two pennies. They don't even make penny bubble gum anymore. It's dime bubble gum now. But it's no bigger than the penny bubble gum. And Jesus said she gave everything she had to live on. Now she was really poor, having nothing left. And in Romans 15:26, Paul tells the church that we are to care for the poor saints. So there are saints who are poor, not necessarily money-wise, but money-wise as well, to care for those who are needy. And in Revelation, this will be the last time, there's more, but in Revelation, remember Jesus to the church at Laodicea, he says, you guys have a real problem because you say we are rich, we don't need anything, we've got everything there is to be, and Jesus said, you don't realize you are poor, blind, and naked. You see, there they were poor, they could receive the preaching of the good news, but they wouldn't acknowledge that. They were relying on their own capability. Well, there are more, but let's just move on here. So, for us today, God created us in such a way to be naturally dependent. God created us in such a way that we would be naturally dependent and reliant upon Him. Physically, a person is totally dependent on God for all his needs. Do you have a job? We say, well, I have a job. I have a paycheck coming in. But God tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, give thanks to God that he gives you strength to work your job to get your paycheck. So it all still goes back to God, doesn't it? I mean, Walmart might sign the check, but it came from God. Physically, a person is totally dependent. In the natural, you know, we are taught to grow up, be your own man, stand on your own feet. That is the poorest advice you could give anyone. We need to lead people to the place to see that they can't stand on their own feet, that they have no ability outside of God and all that God supplies. So the world tells us, you be independent, you be tough. Yeah, everyone who's tried it fails. In the spirit, however, and every one of you who has been a Christian for any length of time will agree with what I say next. In the spirit, the further you go on in Christ, the more you grow up in God, the more dependent you become upon him. The more desperate we become until we are truly poor, so that Jesus can just fill us with that good news for which he's been anointed to bring. And when we become desperately dependent upon God. No, let me say it differently. Until we become desperately dependent on God, we will flounder and fail. But when we are poor, then the gospel comes to us from Jesus. So the first step in this little series on the anointed Christ is that he has come to preach the gospel to the poor, to come to care for the needy, to come to provide, to come to make us dependent upon him for everything. I mean, you can whittle this down as small as you want it. Because if it weren't for God who maintains the formula for oxygen in the air, we'd not be breathing. But he maintains it. If God doesn't maintain the air pressure at 15 pounds per square inch, If he made it stronger, we'd be crushed. If he made it less, we'd fall apart. You see, we are totally dependent on God. You, me, the whole lot of us. And Jesus has been anointed to take care of that. And he's good at it. Father, we pray that we would savor the reality that you've been anointed to make the gospel real in our lives, in every situation, no matter what that situation is. So, Lord God, I commit us today to you and to the word of your grace, which is able to build us up and to give us the inheritance amongst the saints in light. And so, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that your face might be toward us. And that we would walk in our desperate dependence, that we would walk in love, that we would walk in peace, that we would walk in God. Spirit of God, lead us into that kind of life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.